This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
On Between the Sheets, we're talking about STIs. More than 1,600 cases of STIs were recorded in Ireland in just the first 4 weeks of this year. That's around 61 cases every day. With cases rising, especially amongst young people, it is important to understand what exactly is going on and, more importantly, what can we actually do about it. To help break it all down, I'm joined by Professor Fiona Lyons, Medical Director and Clinical Lead of the HSE Sexual Health Programme. Fiona, thank you for joining me on the show. We have seen a big jump in cases compared to this time last year. Why do you think infections are rising right now, especially amongst young people?
Well, I suppose earlier on the year, we were seeing a really significant increase, and we were wondering why that was. But we wondered whether or not some of that may have been artifactual. So some of it may have been around during the Christmas period, that there were delays in notifications or laboratory turnaround times were changed, etc. So that we felt that was in part. In the early stages of this year. And then, and that's been borne out in that in the first 9 weeks of this year, it's an overall 16% increase versus 2026, not a 30-something percent increase, which is what it looked like at the beginning of the first 4 weeks. That said, I suppose you could imagine that around the Christmas period, that people early in the new year, if they've been celebrating Christmas and had some sexual contacts and doing the right thing, by having some STI testing afterwards, that maybe you are picking up infections that were picked up or acquired during that festive period. Why it's in young people? Most of our numbers of chlamydia and gonorrhea infections are seen, particularly chlamydia, are seen in younger people in up to the age of 25. And that reflects a young sexually active population. So I think that's why that is.
What are the most common ones being diagnosed in Ireland right now?
Yeah, so chlamydia and gonorrhea are the big ones. So there, in 2025, there were just over 10,300 chlamydia cases diagnosed and nearly 6,000 cases of gonorrhea. Chlamydia is almost exclusively, not almost exclusively, but chlamydia is mostly seen in younger people. So in the 18 to 24-year-old age group is who we see chlamydia in. And often it's in women and it's equally in women and men. Whereas gonorrhea tends to be more spread across the age population. There's a concentration in younger people up to the age of 24, but it goes into older ages as well. And often in older ages, it's more likely to be in men than in women. We have had early infectious syphilis, which is a really important infection for us to be considering from a long-term health complications perspective. We've had a resurgence of that on and off since the early 2000s, and that's mostly been affecting men who have sex with men. And we still have quite high numbers of that, and it's about a 17% increase this year versus the same time frame last year. That said, last year it overall did go down. So these are very dynamic figures, so it's really hard to get a good picture of what's happening at a particular point in time when you take a very short snapshot, and it's really about trends over time. So I suppose in 2025 we were quite happy with the reassurance that the trends were going in the right direction. Our chlamydia was going down, our gonorrhea was going down, our early infectious syphilis cases were going down. And hopefully we'll see that settle down and become the reality in 2026 as well. That said, it's really important for us to be alert to significant out-of-character type of increases like we saw in the first 4 weeks of this year.
Speaking of that particular increase, I'm sure that when that initially came out, obviously, albeit that it has come down again, it seems to have regulated a bit. I'm sure people were a little bit panicked nearly themselves, thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder, should I get checked for something? What would the key symptoms be that you would be telling people to look out for?
Yeah, so I suppose we can go into the symptoms first, and then we can talk about like the importance and where it may be important to have testing without symptoms. So for cis men and people who have a penis, the common symptoms of something like chlamydia and gonorrhea would be burning pain, passing urine, needing to go to the toilet more often, and maybe the presence of a discharge coming out of the top of the penis, which we call a urethral discharge. That'd be a common symptom for chlamydia and gonorrhea that would be experienced. Sometimes people will not notice any symptoms at all. If individuals have chlamydia infection in the back passage, they may, again, not have any symptoms at all, but they may complain of some pain in the back passage, some blood, some discharge, and sometimes some constipation or feeling like they need to open the bowels all the time, which we see with a particular type of chlamydia infection called LGV, which is less common, but but more likely to cause distress and symptoms in people. In women, cis women and people who have a vagina, symptoms can be a change in vaginal discharge, and it's normal for people who have a vagina to have a vaginal discharge. It's a healthy thing to have. We're supposed to have a vaginal discharge. And the purpose of our vaginal discharge is to cleanse the vagina, to produce lactobacilli that create a nice acidic environment in the vagina, which is helpful in cleansing and getting rid of the bad guys. So we need that as part of our defense. So, but changes in the discharge, maybe that the discharge becomes malodorous and that it changes in color and increases in volume, and other symptoms that people may notice associated with something like that, maybe some bleeding in between the periods or bleeding after sex. Now, those kind of symptoms are quite tricky because there could be lots of things. So some of it, like some change in vaginal discharge, may be normal. For example, if you go on the pill, you might, or if you're pregnant or you have a different stage in your menstrual cycle, you might have a change in your vaginal discharge. Bleeding in between your periods, bleeding after sex, maybe something wrong with the neck of the womb, maybe an infection, or maybe a hormonal imbalance. And sometimes people who are early days in starting the pill or starting other forms of hormonal contraception may notice some disruption in their normal menstrual cycle. So lots of things. And then there are in people who don't have any symptoms at all. So we encourage people to consider that they may have been at risk of an STI and to come forward for testing if they've had a change in sexual partner, if they're going into a new sexual relationship and they say if they want to stop using condoms, to consider having an STI test done then in the absence of symptoms. Because the other thing that we need to consider is there are things like HIV and syphilis, which are infections that are less common but have significantly greater health implications for people. And it's really important for us to know whether or not we are living with HIV and also to know whether or not we've acquired syphilis. So that's blood testing, and people will often not have symptoms for those infections at the time they have testing. For people who do have syphilis, they may notice a sore or an ulcer in the genital area, around the bottom. Sometimes that is not painful and it actually heals up without any treatment at all. And that doesn't mean it's gone away. It just may move into the next phase, which is commonly a rash. So we have lots of information on our information resources for people, particularly men who have sex with men, because that's the community in whom we see most of our early infectious syphilis cases in Ireland at the moment. So mantoman.ie is a really good resource for men who have sex with other men to understand the symptoms that they may experience with things like syphilis, but also considering that they don't have symptoms and needing to go forward and have testing done as well. So I would say the take-home message after a very long-winded way of getting to it, Leah, would be to say to you that for things like HIV and syphilis, don't wait necessarily to have symptoms. Consider, oh, I might have been at risk of those infections. I should go get myself checked out for that. And to follow on from that is to consider important things like the window period. So if, say, for example, if I came in contact with syphilis today, it could take up to 90 days before my body produces a reaction that the laboratory can detect to say that I've been exposed to the syphilis bug, because most of the blood testing, most of the testing and the blood testing we do for syphilis is actually looking for my body's reaction or an individual's body's reaction. And that, as I said, can take up to 90 days. So syphilis, you need to consider now and then 90 days. If you really think you've been exposed to syphilis, I wouldn't wait the full 3 months. But I do it at some point in time. But if that one is negative, I'd repeat it after the window. We call that the window period. And similarly, really importantly with HIV, our HIV tests now, the blood tests that we do for HIV, look for the body's reaction to it. So we call those antibodies, but also look for a little bit of the virus itself. And we call that the antigen. But the window period for that is about 45 days. So if you have a test 2 days after you've been exposed to HIV, it could be completely negative. And whilst it's important to do tests early after testing, it's also after a potential exposure, it's also really important to consider the window period. So don't be falsely reassured by a negative test, say 2 or 3 weeks after exposure to HIV, because you may need to wait. You need to wait the full six weeks, 45 days, or 3 months to have it, to have a fully negative, to know the test is definitely negative. So there are important things for people who are having asymptomatic testing, is to consider the window period for those infections. This is a lot to say in an interview, and I suppose for people to try and write all of this down, you know what I mean? The really important thing is to find the information. So we've got really good information resources for people. So sexualwellbeing.ie is the main HSE sexual health website. Our website is currently down for maintenance, not fully up. So when you go into it, it doesn't look as nice and sexy as it usually does. It's got some links to other things. But under sh24.ie, you'll find the home STI testing service, which brings you through things like symptoms and window periods when you're, if you're availing of that as a way of getting your STI testing done. And really importantly, has information around where you can order and have access to free condoms as well.
People getting regular checks and keeping an eye on all of these things and having the knowledge seems to be really important. But of course, with the cost of living crisis that is going on, I'm sure there are many people that will be perhaps struggling to afford the likes of condoms and even regular testing if they were concerned about that having a price tag to it. Where can people go about getting them for free?
So in 2015, so over 10 years ago, we launched Ireland's National Condom Distribution Service. So we've been distributing over 1 million condoms every year in the last number of years. And we also distribute lubricant as well. And they're available through our network of public sexual health clinics, through many GP practices, not necessarily all of them, but through many GP practices. They're also available in some clubs and bars and sex on premises venues that men who sex with men may visit. And also through the home STI testing service, you can now order. When you're placing your kit, you get information around where you can access free condoms. And for men who have sex with men, you can order them at the same time as you have your kit. Whereas for other groups, you can actually, through the website, order them from one of our NGO partners. So one of our non-governmental charity organisations have a free postal service where you can place an order for a kit or for condoms at the time that you're placed, if you want to get access to condoms. The Home STI Testing Service has been fully operational on a national basis across 26 counties since October 2022, and it is completely free. So the only thing you need to have is a verified mobile phone number in Ireland. So that is completely free. So all of the testing is available free. The turnaround time is really quick. There are instructions around how to do the kit. It will include your user journey. So if somebody visits sh24.ie, they'll be brought through questions around their anatomy. So what parts of body they have, what kind of sex they have, and that helps to guide what kind of tests they would benefit from. And when they have those tests on, they're delivered to the address that the person has nominated in a discreet packet. It doesn't say STI testing kit all over it. It's nice discreet packaging. Also, a big job we did last year was making it more environmentally friendly, which is a very important consideration as well. So we removed as much plastic as we could from the kits last year. And then in that, there are really clear instructions around how to do the collection. So for some people, it'll be a urine test. For some people, a vaginal swab. For some people, a throat swab, rectal swab, and then the blood testing as well. And the blood testing bit is the trickiest bit of it. Now, I've done it myself a couple of times, and the key thing is to have your fingers warm. So sitting on your fingers, putting your hands onto your bum for a few minutes before you do it, or running them under a warm tap before you start doing it, and then pumping your finger, sort of squeezing the top of your finger, is really helpful to try and get the blood up to the top of the finger before you do the blood testing. That is the trickiest bit. There are links in the kit to how to, tricks to try and to make it easier to do. It's not actually painful when you do it. In my experience of having done it 3 times is that bit doesn't hurt. It's kind of sore for a couple of days after, and you definitely need to have a plaster where you got the blood test from afterwards. Some people find it they're just not able to do it, and so they may need to have to go a blood test done. And the STI testing and care is also free through our network of public sexual health clinics. And in some of our student health services as well, they may not be entirely free, but they may be at a reduced rate. Ultimately, what we'd like is that everyone has access to free sexual health care, regardless of where they go. And we've come a good bit of a way since our first national sexual health strategy in 2015, but we still have a journey to go in getting that absolutely everywhere is free. But at the moment, Home STI Testing Service and our network of public sexual health clinics, everything will be available for free.
Professor Fiona, before I let you go, what would be your top tips for young people who might be listening to this evening? I realise that a lot of information has been shared, but what is the key piece of advice that, you know, people should be listening to?
My top tip for anyone about anything is knowledge is power. So if we know something, knowledge is power. Being in the dark and not knowing what's going on is very scary, and is always often the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. So actually equipping yourself with the information and the knowledge that you need is really important. And as I said, sexualwellbeing.ie is where we usually house a lot of our information. So your listeners may go there now and see that it's a bit broken, but do follow the links because there is information there. It's down for maintenance at the moment, but that is our house of where we keep lots of information. sh24.ie is where we have our information about our home STI testing service. And because our main website is being having some maintenance work at the minute, we've moved stuff across to there. So you'll see information around how to access free condoms there as well. The other thing I think that for younger people or people who've never had an STI test, which may not just be younger people, is the, like, it sounds really scary. And what's it like? You know, what kind of questions, if I go to a clinic, what kind of questions am I going to be asked? Am I going to be judged? And I really hope that nobody will be judged, because for those of us who work in sexual health, we're generally very passionate about it. And we operate in an entirely non-judgmental way, because I suppose the really important thing to remember is we wouldn't be here if it weren't for sex. That's what keeps the human race going. So it's an ordinary and necessary part of life. But on our health and wellbeing, the HSC Health and Wellbeing YouTube channel, there are just as of the last hour, so today, we've put up videos on what to expect in a public sexual health clinic when you're having an STI assessment, and also what the home STI testing service might look like as well. So if you go to HSC Health and Wellbeing YouTube channel, you'll be able to find those clips there. And they're available in Irish and English.
Well, Professor Fiona Lyons, thank you so much for joining me on the show this evening. That is so much information that I'm sure people didn't know half of. So I really appreciate you sharing it with us this evening, and for all of those helpful resources as well. Thank you for joining us on iRadio's Group Chat.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.